always bring your Bible to church and make that a practice. Some of the scriptures I put on the screen, but some of them I don't. I intentionally don't put it all up there because I think we always need to bring our Bibles and always follow along in the Bible itself. Amen? 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "And when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him and his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he had loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and he gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the Word of God. I pray that your Word would accomplish what you send it to today. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Speak, Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and through your servant in the name of Jesus. We trust, O Lord, that you would just remove all distractions in the name of Jesus. And we trust, O Lord, for your presence and your power and your grace to flow right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've entitled the message today, True Friends. True Friends. You don't have it. Okay. I'm sorry, we don't have the PowerPoint working today for some reason. With some, as I said earlier, some technical difficulties. I don't know. So, true friends. I'm going to talk to you about friendship today. The subject of friendship and different things that the Bible says about friendship. Going to speak today about what it is to be true friends. How many of you consider that you have, consider right now, as of this day, today, that you have true friends? Lift up your hand. Praise the Lord. That's good. It's good to know. And so there's something in this message for all of us because the Bible talks about friendship a lot. It has a whole lot to speak about this subject of friendship. And one of the best examples that I can possibly think of when it comes to the topic of friendship is the friendship between Jonathan and David. They had an awesome friendship. And I think if you want to look at the example of what true friendship was all about, you can look at them as being like a beautiful example of what true friends are all about. And so the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, "And now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he had loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him, and he gave it to David and with his armor and his sword, and his bow, and his belt." Hallelujah. You know, David was a shepherd boy. He started out as just a nobody. You know, nobody knew. He was a shepherd boy. But remember when Israel was being challenged by Goliath? Remember that story? That's a very famous story in the Bible. That he was challenged by Goliath, and Goliath was a giant. He was literally a giant. He was almost 10 foot tall. He was 9 foot and something. And so he was bigger than any of our basketball players today. I mean, he was big dude. And so he was challenging the armies of Israel every day, going out with his big sword and his big voice and his booming voice and challenging them and calling them and taunting them and messing with them. And every one of Israelites, every one of them were terrified. Not a single one of them wanted to go out and fight this man. But when David, the little shepherd boy, showed up, he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this that he should challenge the people of God, that he should challenge our God? Who is he anyway?" And he went and he approached the king and he says, and through, not directly, but indirectly, approached the king. He says, "I'll fight him." And King Saul, they brought him, a shepherd boy, up, And we don't know exactly how old he was because the Bible doesn't say, but he was not like a big fighting man. He wasn't like a soldier, a big man that had already been in battle or anything like that. He was just used to taking care of the sheep. And he told King Saul, he says, I fought a bear and I defeated a bear. I defeated a lion already and in battle. And he says, I'm going to go against this uncircumcised Philistine in the name of the Lord. He had a holy boldness that God put within him. And he says, here, put on my armor. And he put this heavy armor on this young man, put this heavy armor. He says, I can't do this. I don't need this. He took his slingshot. And you know the story. He took his slingshot, 5 stones, and he swung those things around, went out, and he faced the giant and swung one toward him and bopped him right between the eyes and his forehead, knocked the giant over, and he went over and took the giant's sword, cut off his head, off with his head. And this is where the story takes up, what I just read. This is where the story goes after this. You know what he did? This is a little gory. He took the head of Goliath and he brought it before the king and he presented it, presented the head before the king. And Jonathan, the son of King Saul, was so impressed. He was so touched by this young man. This young man, it says that his soul was knit together with him. And that was that was the first time they met with one another, and his soul was so touched by this young man that they became friends instantly. It was an instant, and he took the king's son literally took off his sword, he took off his robe, he gave him his bow and his arrows, and he says, Here, this is yours. And he made a covenant with him. He made a covenant. You know, when somebody gets married today, we use a symbol, right? We use a ring. Back in the, you know, years ago, did you realize that there was no exchange of wedding rings? That's more recent in history. Back in history, that we didn't exchange wedding rings. But now we exchange wedding rings as a symbol of the covenant relationship we make with one another. Vows are made, a covenant is made, a mutual agreement is made that you will love one another, that you will devote yourself to one another. And so Jonathan was saying to his friend David, I am devoting myself to you, and I trust that you will devote yourself to me. And what he was actually saying is, I got your back from now on. I'm giving you my sword, I'm giving you my bow and arrows, I'm giving you my robe, but that represented to him that I am going to be there to back you up. I'm going to watch your back from now on, and that we are blood brothers from now on, and that I'm going to fight for you, and I trust that you will fight for me also. Isn't that something? What inspired him was that he had the guts, the audacity, the faith, the confidence, the holy boldness to do what no other Israelite would do, but to face the giant. And so we also need to face some giants in our life, don't we? You and I, we have some giants. Sometimes it's financial giants. We have financial problems in front of us. Sometimes it's relationship giants. Sometimes it's health giants in front of us. Every one of us have to face giants from time to time. And you know what? It's every bit as big as Goliath. Amen. Every bit as big. The enemy taunts you and he says, you can't do it. You're going to be defeated. Drugs are going to defeat you. Alcohol is going to defeat you. I'm more powerful than you. I'm going to dominate you. I'm going to control your life. But we have to stand up with audacious faith like that young David that said, who are you? Who are you to face our God? My God is able to defeat you. Amen? My God is able to defeat you. Amen. So whatever it is, face your giant. Face it in the name of Jesus. Overcome, conquer in the name of the Lord. First point in this teaching is this. True friend. You found it now? Oh, okay. Oh, good. Thank you. All right, we're back and running here. True friends. True friends will put their own lives on the line for a friend. True friends will put their own lives on the line for a friend. And that's exactly what I believe was going on in this story here, where Jonathan was saying to David, and giving him his robe, his sword, his belt, his armor, and making a covenant with him. He was as much as saying, we're now true friends, and I am there for you, and I'm willing to stick my neck out for you. I'm willing to give myself for you, and whatever it takes to be able to defeat our enemies together. When David had finished speaking with King Saul and Jonathan and Abner the general, all those things took place, and they solemnly made this covenant. We also, I believe, need to develop relationships and friendships where we can covenant together. It might not mean that you're going to do exactly like that, but I believe that our friendships should get much beyond the surface of where they are. I believe friendships should get much deeper, where you're willing to back one another up, where you're willing to not look out just for you and your family and your individual interests, but I believe a true friend is willing to go beyond and to lay down one's life for one another, to give up whatever it takes to be a friend and to be a supporter, to be an encourager of one another. But you know what? That was talking about physically being able to go to battle and those kind of things. But what? How do we do it today? I don't believe it's God's will for us to take up weapons and go to war and say, okay, I'm going to watch your back, and if somebody comes against you, I'm going to beat them down, you know? That's not the Christian way. That's not the godly way, right? But the godly way, the Christian way, is this. This is how we are friends and we support one another. Romans chapter 12, 17 to 21. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Rather, give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what a good friend will do? A good friend will back up that other friend and say, I know you got some enemies. I know you have some persons coming against you, but you support them in prayer. You support them to say, hey, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Amen? Well, I have had circumstances, situations where somebody's life was taken by somebody else, where somebody murdered somebody. And the first thought is vengeance. The first thought is, I'm going to find them, and my family or whoever it is, we're going to take them out just like they took our loved one out. But a true friend will come beside and will empathize and will hear them out and will say, remember what the Bible says? Remember, friend, remember what the Bible says? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. A good friend won't say, take up a weapon, hurt them as they have hurt you, but a good friend will say, follow Jesus. Do what he told us to do. When your enemy's hungry, feed them. When they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Amen? And so heap coals of fire upon their head. And so that's the way of the Lord. Overcome evil with good. And so helping a friend to overcome evil with good is a true friend. Amen? Helping them to overcome. An example of this is Romans 16, 1 and 2. It says, this is talking about the Apostle Paul. But it says, I commend to you Phoebe, my sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner as worthy as saints. Assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Is there more verses on the name, on the same one? You know what? When my daughter typed that up, she missed the main verses I was looking for. I'm sorry, just go a little further in verse 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risk their own necks for my life. to whom not only I gave thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Priscilla and Aquila were a husband-wife team. They were in ministry together. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they had a church that met in their house. And so it's interesting that Priscilla, her name was named before the husband, who was Aquila. And in the Bible, men were always addressed first before women. In the Bible days, I hate to say it, but there was a real second-class citizenship when it came to females. That was it was just across the line. They were second class in the culture during that period of time. But when Priscilla's name was put before Aquila, the husband, they scholars believe, and it says that the church met in their house. We believe that she was the leader, that she was the pastor, and the husband was the assistant to the woman. Amen. You got it. And so there are lots of other examples like that too I could give, but I don't want to get off the topic. My topic is friendship, and what I wanted to speak about is this, that they laid, it says, Paul was commending them and saying, you risk your lives for me, because Paul's life was taken out in Rome. He was a martyr for the faith. He laid down his life for the faith. And so he was under persecution. He went through all kinds of persecution, and he was just commending these two leaders, this husband and wife leadership team, was commending them and saying, you risk, and you risk your neck. You laid down your life for me. And that's what a friend will do. Amen? Are you willing to risk? Are you willing to lay down? Are you willing to lay down our stuff to be able to help somebody else, to help a friend? Amen? And the next point is in 1 Samuel 23:14-18, true friends love at all times. Just say love at all times. Does that mean that you love so much that you're willing to wake up at 2 when somebody calls you and you're sound asleep? Loving at all times, right?
Yes.
It's loving at all times. Yeah. But it's not just when it's convenient. It's not just when we feel like it, right? And even, you know, when somebody calls you for the third time and said, don't have any money, you know, could you help me out? Come on, friend. And a friend will do it. Amen. A friend, yeah, even if it seems like you've overextended yourself in that right, I believe that a friend will continue to love in spite of the circumstance, will continue to love in a material and a physical and a real tangible kind of way. David and Jonathan are examples of this kind of a friendship. David was in exile. He was literally being chased and pursued by King Saul. King Saul was a jealous king. He was jealous of him. After he defeated Goliath, he became jealous because the women came out in the streets and they started dancing and playing their music and playing their tambourines and dancing and praising God, and they were rejoicing and saying, David has killed his thousands, tens of thousands, but Saul has killed his thousands. And Saul didn't like to hear that. He says, I only killed my thousands, but he's killed tens of thousands. And instantly, he became jealous. It was a crazy jealousy that he had, a crazy thought. And the devil used that jealous, crazy thought, and he started his pursuit of him, and David had to leave town. He literally had to leave town. And then he gathered about 600 men around him, and he was hiding in this woods, called this stronghold, this place of protection. And as he was hiding out there with his 600 men, Jonathan shows up. I tell you, sometimes when things are the lowest, we need a friend. Amen? Isn't it good when you got a friend call you right at the nick of time? Isn't it good when you're going through something that somebody, that friend is thinking about you, that brother or that sister in Christ is thinking about you, and they call you, or better yet, they knock on the door and say, here I am, what can I do? You know, what can I do? How can I help you? Or listening and hearing and supporting and doing what you have to do to be able to be there for your friend. Amen? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loves how often? Say it again. A little louder. Not just in the good times, right? Let the good times roll. You know, when the money's rolling in, everybody wants to be your friend, right? Everybody wants to be your friend when you have material stuff and material blessings. But when it isn't good times, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. And so true friends are there for one another during adverse circumstances, during trials, during tests, during pressures, during the problems that we face in life. Amen? And so let's be there for one another. Let's be true brothers, true sisters in Christ, true friends in Christ who are there during the adverse times, during the trying times, during the testing times of life. Sometimes we miss it, right? I really believe sometimes we miss it. We're not there when we should be there. And so I'm not trying to share this to bring condemnation or guilt or shame on anybody, but let's rise up to a higher level of brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ. Amen? Where we can truly be true brothers, true sisters in Christ, who can be there during adversities. And that's what Jonathan showed an example. He went to his friend. He risked his life. He risked his reputation because he was coming against his own father. He was coming against a man who was mentally and spiritually, I believe, from time to time, he would be possessed of an evil spirit. And that evil spirit would take over Saul, and he wasn't himself. And then other times he would be more sane and more together and everything. And he went in and out of like depression, in and out of being ups and downs mentally and emotionally and so on. And so, you know, Jonathan, of all people, knew what his dad was like, and that he could have even did violence to him, and that he could remove him from him having the possibility of being the next king after him, which he was the king's successor. But he went, risked himself to support his friend, and he went there in the hiding place. And once again, what did he do? He renewed his covenant with his friend. He renewed his mutual agreement with his friend that, brother, I am there for you. I am with you. I am on your side. Amen. Sometimes we got to renew our covenant. Sometimes we have to renew marriage covenant because we go through ups and downs in marriage, in that marriage covenant also, where we renew our commitments to one another, to be loyal, to be faithful, to be loving, to be there for one another until death do us part. Amen. And friendship is also a covenant relationship, going deeper in friendship, and going further in friendship than what we have ever been before. In the Daily Bread, this past week, I was touched by David Roper's April 2nd Daily Bread writing, and he said this, that is the essence of Christian friendship. He says, beyond common interests, beyond affection, beyond wit and laughter is the ultimate aim of sowing in others the words of eternal life, leaving with them reminders of God's wisdom, refreshing their spirits with words of his love, and strengthen their grip in God. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, if we go to that, that's the scripture I'm talking about, 1 Samuel 23, verses 16 and 17, and that scripture says, Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods, strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. And so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? It says that he came and he strengthened his friend's hand in the Lord. He strengthened his grip. Sometimes we begin to lose our grip. You know, you're holding on to God's hand. You're holding on to the Lord's hand. And you're walking with the Lord and staying close to him. And you're holding on to your commitment. And you have a firm grip. But sometimes we lose our grip. Sometimes we begin to slip. Sometimes we begin to slip little by little away. And so what we need is a good friend, a good brother, a good sister who will come to us during that time when we're starting to lose our grip, starting to lose our deeper commitment to the Lord and letting our life slip a little bit. Because, you know, we all slip a little. No matter the best of us, we love the Lord and we want to serve the Lord, but we all slip a little from time to time. And so we need a good brother. We need a good sister. We need good friends by our side. That's why you can't live this Christian life by yourself. The Lord never intended for you to try to live this thing solitaire. It's not like the game of solitaire, right? You know, where it's just me and me, I'm doing my thing and so on and so forth. It's a family affair. It's a church affair. We're born again and brought into the family of God. And we're brought into brothers and sisters in Christ. But God also wants us to go even beyond brothers and sisters, which is a deep relationship, to be friends. And then to go to be loyal friends. And very few will you have in life, but loyal friends who will be covenant friends that you will have that covenant relationship with, and that you will, no matter what, your friend is going to be there at all times. Say all times. Now, I want to be there for my friends, but I'm sure from time to time I've let some friends down. You ever been let down by somebody? And you say, oh, man, I thought I had a friend. I thought I had a friend. Where are they? You know, all of a sudden they disappeared on me. All of a sudden they're nowhere to be found. And sometimes it's during the hard times that we're disappointed with one another. But you know what? I want to urge you to don't give up on one another, to start over again and to give people opportunity again. Amen. To give people opportunity to forgive and to learn to love and to keep developing these relationships, which I believe are truly of God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one. Say that with me. Two are better than one. Once more, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if you fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Amen. Two are better than one. And so I preach this at marriages, when I'm performing marriage ceremonies and everything, I preach that. But I believe it also fits in friendship, covenant friendship relationships. Two are better than one, because when somebody falls, the other one picks them up. And two are better than one because you get more, you know, more for your labor, and you work at things together, and you're productive together. Amen? Productive and being able to do all that the Lord wants you to do. Praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 18, would you look at that? 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 18, the scripture says, so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. 1 Samuel 23, verse 18, true friends love beyond surface friendships. We love beyond surface friendships. And so I believe we have all different kinds of friends. But I believe what the Lord will want us to do is to bump it up a few notches and to go higher in our relationships and deeper in our relationships one with another. And 2 Samuel verse 120, chapter 1, verse 26. And you can, 2 Samuel chapter 1, is that right? Yeah. 2 Samuel, maybe we have to turn to that one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Samuel 1:26. And it says, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love for me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. That's a deep statement. He says, your love this was at the end, close to the end of Jonathan's life, and they were there for one another long, all along the way. But it came towards the end of his life, and Saul and Jonathan both were killed in battle. But before it all went down, before that battle went down, before those things took place, he was able to say that your love for one another has been even greater than love for women. That doesn't mean that they were homosexuals. It doesn't mean that they were gay. There wasn't anything like that. There was no funny business going on. There was no immoral relationship going on. But what there was going on was a deeper covenant friendship that went beyond not a sexual, perverted, twisted relationship, but it was a deep relationship that they had for one another. There was something that took place between them that only the Lord could put together. Amen? Only the Lord could put together, that they could covenant together, that they were there for one another, and there was a deepness. And so it was agape love. Agape love is a supernatural love. It's a divine love. It was a love that God puts in his heart, one for another. Amen? It's that God kind of love. And not a perverse and twisted kind of love, but it was something deep. And I believe that there's something that is missing. God never intended for two men and two women to live and to cohabit together and to live in sin with one another. The Bible calls that sin. It's homosexuality and lesbian relationships where there's the exchange of homosexual and lesbian physical intimacies and all those kind of things. It's sin. It's pure sin. And the Lord forgives sin. He cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and he washes away our sins. But he says, don't repent of that sin and don't do it anymore. Just like he did with the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus said to the woman, I don't condemn you, just as we shouldn't condemn a homosexual or a lesbian. But what the Lord is saying, it's time to repent. It's time to forsake that. No longer living in sexual sin one with another. But there's a level of friendship that quite often we never attain to like Jonathan and David had. There's a level of covenant, of commitment that they reached with one another that was not perverted, wasn't twisted, it wasn't all messed up. Amen? I believe my dad had relationships like that. He had friends. My dad was a good friend. My father was a minister, was a pastor, loved the Lord, served the Lord. He did so many things in life. He was a farmer, he was a carpenter, he was a pastor. At different times, he did different things to make a living. But one thing that he had was some very loyal friends, and they were committed to one another. And through thick and through thin, they were together. And they used to go to the ball games together. They used to go to track meets together. They used to go fishing together. They used to go hunting together. They used to go 260 miles from northern Michigan to southern Michigan to watch the Detroit Tigers play. My dad was a Tigers fan. And so he loved the Tigers, but he had friends that they would do things together. And if one of his friends would call, I'm talking about when we had a family. My dad had a family, had the children, and he's a very responsible dad and all those kind of things. But when his friends would call and they needed him, and they from time to time, I know a couple of his friends would say, could you know, Earl, his name's Earl, could you just, let's come with me for a little while. Let's take a ride. And so they would take a ride, and they would do business, and he had a couple business friends. And so they would take a ride, and then he would listen to his friends. He would listen, and he would hear what they had to say, because a friend isn't just talking all the time, isn't just giving advice all the time, but a good friend is also a good listener. And I believe my dad would listen to his friends. And I learned so many things about friendship, you know, from my dad. He had friends, and when it came to the end of his life, he had friends who had already gone on to be with the Lord, but it was hard to choose six pallbearers. We wanted to choose six persons to carry my dad's casket. It was hard to choose six because we kept thinking, who was better friends? Who was he best of friends with? Because he had a lot of good friends that he laid down his life for, that he cared for, and that they would hunt together and play games together and have fun together and witness together and talk about the Lord together and talk about Jesus, and they would go out and together and talk to other people about Jesus together with those. And so I tell you, when I look at my dad, and now that I'm older, my best friend is Jesus. Amen? Because there's no one like Jesus. There's no friend like Jesus. He's the best. He is the best. And so seek him and make him number one friend of your life. Make him Lord of your life. Give your heart to him if you haven't given your heart to him, that he's the number one friend. But I'm married now for 34 years, and I know my second best friend is Andrea. And so I just was joking with her this morning. I said, you are my friend, aren't you? And she says, of course, best friends forever. Best friends for, she had to say that, right? She had to say that. No, we are best friends. We truly are. But you know what? I also need men friends. I need some Jonathan and Davids in my life. And you sisters need some other, you sisters need sisters in your life. Nothing perverted, nothing twisted, but pure friendship. That kind of friendship where you're loyal and committed and loving and patient and kind, and you're there for one another and so on and so forth. Amen? And so as I'm getting older, now our children are adults, and four of them are on their own and one is still with us. I find a longing within my heart. I want some friends. I want some men friends. I want some friends who I can call John. I say, John, let's go fishing today, all right? Let's go fishing today. Let's go watch the New York Yankees today. All right, we don't even have to do anything. Let's just go hang out in the park today, all right? Let's just go sit in the park and fellowship today. Or it makes it easy too. You know, McDonald's is nice, right? Go to McDonald's. A dollar coffee, right? Let's go hang out at McDonald's for a little while. Dollar coffee. Or a dollar ice cream cone, right? It's pretty, you don't have to spend a lot of money. But it's the relationship. It's the friendship. It's being there for one another. And so I'm looking for more of that. I'm looking for some. And you know what? You can't be friends with everybody. You can't. And you know what? Facebook is crazy, isn't it? Facebook is crazy. You know, as soon as you get on, I'm not on Facebook, but my wife is on Facebook, and so my picture is there with her, you know. But I'm not doing it myself. But it's crazy. All these people come out of the woodwork. Can I be your friend? Can I be your friend? And you know what? There are some people I wouldn't advise you to put on the Facebook list. There are some people you have to be wise and you have to be discerning. Just because they say, because their name pops up, it doesn't mean that's God. Amen? Because some of it ain't God. It's something else, you know. Some of them are not the Lord. And so you have to be wise. You have to be discerning. You have to choose your friends wisely. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's keep going here. How do you make friends and keep them? And first is pray. How do you make friends and keep them? Pray. If you don't have any good friends, pray for good friends. The Lord will give you good friends. He'll give you what you need. Amen? And number one, a man who has friends must be friendly. And sometimes we don't have friends because we're not friendly. We're not. You say, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know why I don't have no friends. It's because you're not friendly. If you are friendly, you'll have friends. A friendly person will always have friends. That means you talk to people. You don't have always a scowl on your face. And you don't always have walking around with a chip on your shoulder, an attitude. People who have friends are friendly. Amen? They smile. They talk. They laugh, they have good time, they joke. Amen? So, Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who's that friend? Jesus, right? There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's the number one friend. Seek him. Seek his friendship first. Seek him. A lot of times people are looking for friendships. They'll even come to church because they're looking for friends and relationships and so on. But seek first the kingdom. Seek Jesus Christ. Put him first place within your life. And number two, you can have a true close friend and have a few select in that group. And so what I was trying to say, maybe I didn't phrase it right, but you can only have just a few friends. I mean real good friends. You can have several acquaintances, and you can have several friends, but real good friends, close friends, a select group of people. Amen? Because we only have so much time, don't we? We only have so much time, and we only have so much energy. And friendship requires time and energy, doesn't it? It sure does. We need time and energy. Number three, true friends should be chosen from people of moral character. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, do not go. So I don't know if you ever had any angry friends and your friendship ended up with fist fights, or your friendship ended up in cursing and swearing, or your friendship ended up in him banging you one, or hurting you, or saying words to you that hurt you deeply, and then you say, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't want this. Right? So choose wisely who is going to be your friends. So don't make friends with an angry man. Amen? That's wisdom from God. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil companions corrupt good habits. And so choose persons who have godly character, persons who have Christ-like character, who have nice characters. Amen? And number four, choose friends who don't whisper and gossip. Amen? I'm just trying to help you out here. Guess what? If that friend will gossip with you and whisper about so-and-so, it ain't going to be long, and they'll be whispering and gossip about you too. And as soon as you give them a little bit of tidbits of information about you that you don't want to be shared anywhere else, they'll end up turning on you and whispering and gossiping about you later. And so if you know somebody as a whisperer and a gossiper, stay clear. Stay clear. Or when you're around them, I mean, you can be around them, but you just be very selective what you say. I have an aunt who likes to talk. She's just a big talker. She can talk. And she says about our family, she says, your family don't tell us what's going on. There's a reason, Aunt. There's a reason. Because she spreads it everywhere and says stuff that shouldn't be said and so on and so forth. And so we're wise when we're around her. We zip the lip, right? And so you want to have good friends. Choose ones that don't whisper and don't gossip. Amen? Number five, choose who will be your Facebook friends. Choose them. Don't let it, just because you got 400 names, that don't mean you got 400 friends, right? In fact, probably out of those 400, maybe you only got just a select few that are true friends. So clean house. I'm just some advice. Clean house. Clean your Facebook account. Take off those who would be detrimental to you, who would not help you, and who would be doing you a disservice and wouldn't be true and good friends. Amen? I see some of you smiling here. I don't know. What does that mean? All right. Yeah, and it's okay. It's okay. You can't be everybody's friend. And you can't let every name that comes your way be added to your list. And just because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or something. But you know what? We just have to sometimes just be firm and just live by conviction, right? Live by the conviction of what's right. There are some persons who we should take off the Facebook for your own good. And number seven, your best and closest friends should be persons who know the Lord, who walk close to him. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And so, I'm not saying that you can't have non-Christian friends, but make your the best friends and your truest friends that you devote time to and the most amount of time to as other believers. You can. Jesus had unsaved friends. He had Zacchaeus, and he had Matthew, the tax collector, and he would go to people's houses and talk with them and spend time with them and so on and so forth. But you know what? Where did he spend the majority of his time? With his friends who were believers, who were followers, who were with him and were servants of the Lord. And so to just make it sweet and simple, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and so make your best and your truest friends that you would have believers. Amen? And don't smother and try to control your friends. That's a temptation. Sometimes we don't have friends because you smother and try to control them. You know, I don't know. Men are so different than women when it comes to friendship. I think most men do not want to be Facebooked or called or, you know, every day. When you have a friend, if that person wants to Facebook you or call you and respond to you every day, you say, that's too smothering. I don't like that. Personally, that's my conviction. I wouldn't want to have a friend who's calling me every day. Maybe once a week. Yeah, once a week. I mean, and have a meaningful time together once a week, but not every day. There's something that is too dependent. We shouldn't become so dependent upon one another and the friendship, because the only one that we should be spending time with every day is the Lord. Amen? He should be the one that we're going before his presence and worshiping him and reading his word and so on and so forth. But it is important to keep up, and close friendships should be that we keep contact with one another and keep the communication, because good communication keeps that friendship growing and developing and everything. Amen? But we don't, also a very bad thing in friendship is controlling, where a friend wants to tell you what to do and how to do it and how not to do it and be too controlling, trying to manipulate you all the time to make you do this and make you do that. That's not a good friend. A good friend loves the Lord, and you love the Lord together, and you lift one another up and you build one another up, but you don't try to control one another. Amen? And so there can be a temptation to smother or control. And so if you do have any of those issues in your own life, or somebody that you have an issue with who is one of your friends, I think you need to talk about it. Doesn't mean you just cut them off and say, oh, I don't want you to be my friend no more because you're too controlling. But I do believe you have to be open and honest and say, yeah, I love you, and I want this friendship to work, and I want it to be uplifting and so on, but I can't talk to you every day. I can't email you. I can't Facebook you every day. It just ain't gonna happen. And amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If you practice 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 in your friendships, you're going to have healthy and blessed and uplifting friendships. And you'll have friendships like my dad had right to the end of his life. And that some of those guys who were his friends carried his casket. And they said, I was so happy and so pleased that I could be a friend of Earl Miller. Amen? That's the kind of friends you want. Amen? Those kind of friends who will be with you and stand by your side and right up to the end of life. And of course, I realize that some friendships, what happens, you know, sometimes friendships are for a season also. Sometimes you'll have a friendship for a season. I have friends, I have high school friends, and they were non-Christian friends. And they liked to smoke weed. They liked to get high. They liked to drink. And I wanted to get away from that. I repented of those things when I was a teenager. I was doing it. I was into it. But when I realized that they were dragging me down, I had to separate myself from them. It was one of the hardest things as a teenager to do, to separate from friends and say, I can't be with these people no more. And I totally shunned them altogether. And that was the only way, with Jesus and with his help, that I stopped smoking weed and drinking and smoking cigarettes and doing those negative things that was bringing my life down and was separating me from God. Amen? And so there are friends like that that you don't need. You need to separate from. And you don't even have to question whether you should or you know you've got to get out of that relationship because it's bringing you down. Amen? And so the Lord loves you. He wants you to have good friends. Your best friend is Jesus. Draw near to him and pray for good friends. And God is going to open up the right kind of relationships who will be uplifting, encouraging, supportive of one another. And I believe that we should get to the point where we could have David and Jonathan kind of covenant relationship friends that are deep, that are laying our life down kind of relationships. Amen. Let's stand up and we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for every man and every woman, every boy, every girl, every young person here today. Help us, Lord, to first of all, have you as the number one friend in the name of Jesus, to draw near to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your steadfast love. Have your way, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, I just pray for you to give us godly friends in our life, to give us good friends, covenant friends, healthy relationships that would be uplifting, encouraging, strengthening of one another in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Minister, Holy Spirit, in people's lives. Thank you, Lord. You can have a seat. I just wanted to just have a seat. I just give two more minutes. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. But to enter into a friendship with God, with the Lord, we need to be born again. The Bible says unless a person is born again, he'll never see God's kingdom or enter into his kingdom. And so he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for our sin. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we can have right relationship with God. And if you're not sure of your relationship with God today, and if you're not sure you have him as the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you opportunity. We're going to come and have you come to the front of the church, to the altar area. We'll pray with you, and one of our leaders will pray with you and help you to lead you into a prayer and lead you to a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen? And maybe you're here today. You've been hurt. You've been wounded by friends. And right now, you don't even want to hear this teaching about friends because recently you were hurt or you were wounded or you were gossiped about, or you were slandered, or you have something very negative in your mind. It's a bad taste within your mouth still about friends because of the disappointments that friends have been to you. And so I think that's something we ought to pray about too. And we'll have you come and we'll pray with persons here at this altar. Pray with persons who have been hurt or wounded or disappointed where you just say, forget it. And just I don't need anybody. I just got God, and I don't need nobody else. We do need others. We need family. We need brothers and sisters in Christ and good, healthy friendships to help us on our way to heaven. Amen? The Lord loves you, died on the cross for you, sent his one and only son so that we could enter into our intimacy with God, a personal relationship with God. So he loves you and wants you to have that relationship today. Could we have them? Is somebody here that can play the keyboard? Oh, he's up there ready? Okay, thank you, brother. Amen. As he's playing the keyboard, I'd like to invite you to come to this altar, and we're going to pray with people to know the Lord, to make sure that you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, and also pertaining to friendships, or if there's other prayer requests, come, and we'll pray with you here at this altar today.